Alyssa again. So I hear the suggestion a lot to replace faucets, and I can see where, you know, let's eliminate the source. But so if we've got testing that was done in 2016 and 2017, same faucets, then in 2018 we had high levels for maybe a reason we might find out more about. I think Chase was still going to talk more about that. And then now, almost a year later, we have levels that are all acceptable again. So I guess, can anyone speak to why that was and how is changing your faucet going to matter? If you're just attempting to totally remove any of the source. But if I was fine with that same faucet in 2016 and 2017, and now I am again in 2019, maybe. Do you guys get where I'm going with that? Sorry.
That's a really good question. So what we were saying is that we didn't have any exceedances of the lead action level. That doesn't mean that there wasn't any lead in there. You see what I mean? So some of the homes, you know, might have had samples that were, for instance, we had a couple of homes that are at 5.9, 4.4, 3.9. So there is some level of lead, and that's why I would recommend that the faucets, because the faucets that have lead in them that were manufactured before 2014 when those new rules went into effect will have a higher level of lead. If the lead's not there, it can't be leached out of the water. So no matter what happens with the water, then the mineral is not there to be leached out. So that's why I would make that recommendation, because it's not zero, right? So that's why you see some fluctuation.
I can just talk for just a couple more seconds about, you know, back to the institutional corridor and whatnot. So in October, November, when all these new services were coming online, you know, the city was producing a heck of a lot more water in a short amount of time. And the amount of chemicals that the city needs to inject for pH control and polymers and whatnot for treatment, there was a lot of adjusting going on to meet the new demand. So it did take a little while to just catch up to what the new demand was requiring for chemicals. So it was just a little bit of a learning process with the new demands, which could have impacted the aggressiveness of the water for a little while. The other thing that I guess I could point out is, you know, with the most recent tests, water temperature is different than it was with a late fall test. Water temperature does impact the aggressiveness, back to that word, of water. So, you know, if you really want to track something, you need to monitor at the same time of the year again and again, just because your water temperatures are going to be different. It's going to contribute differently to how aggressive the water is and how likely it is to grab and leach. I'm not sure the requirements of the actual sampling plan. Is it at the same time every year?
Well, it depends on what schedule you're on. So if you're on a 6-month schedule, then you would test every 6 months. If you're on an annual schedule, then we do try to get the samples at the time the water temperature is highest. If you go online and you look at the actual lead and copper rule, they require that samples be taken between June and September. But for us in Alaska, especially when we have heat add systems, a lot of times for a lot of communities, your highest temperatures are going to be in the winter. So we have sort of dispensation from EPA to adjust that sample schedule so that we can hit the times when the water is of the highest temperature. So in the case of Bethel, it would probably be towards the end of the year in December when testing would be done. So we would adjust the sample schedule based on when heat is being added to the system. Yeah.
Anna Rose MacArthur, KYUK. I want to better understand the city's response to the testing that was done in September. So the public notification was late. It came out many months late. It didn't come out till July of this year, the following year. But when those initial tests from September, those results were originally acquired, did action begin then from the city to start adjusting the treatment, and it was only the public notification that came later, or did the treatment plan adjustment also arrive later than it should have?
Sure.
I think that's a great segue for Bill.
Well, okay.
We can talk a little bit about it.
I guess I'd just point out or just bring up, we, as the engineering firm, were brought on in January, and maybe it was even December, to start working on this issue. We did have our lead water quality specialist out here in January, and we did testing in January, February, and March for the analytes that would contribute to the indices that I talked about earlier. So the city's action was rather swift on getting an engineering firm involved. I can't speak completely to the notices and all that, but we have been involved for a number of months on this already, and we will continue to be until it's better resolved. Mm-hmm.
Bill?
Just to introduce myself again for those of you who showed up after I did earlier, I'm Bill Howell. I'm the acting city manager. I've been in this role since April of this year. I've been with the city for about 28 years, normally a firefighter. I'm the fire chief for the city. I'll kind of jump back to your question here momentarily, Anna Rose. As a city manager, so I became aware of this issue around July 19th of this year. And as a city manager, my concern was to get the information out to the public and to get the city in compliance with the DEC requirements for the notice as quickly as possible, so that we can inform the public of this issue. That's what we did. Within a week, July 19th was a Friday, so we did have a number of the consumer notices that were hand-delivered by our public works director to the 10 homes that were tested, three of which actually had high lead levels, and it was homes and businesses. But by the following week, we had over 1,600 notices sent out to the entire community for the public education component. That was all the pamphlets that everybody received, and also the quarterly notice. So within a week of learning this, I had the administration, the public works department, working with the DC and our engineer, had gotten us back into compliance with the DC. Ever since that initial notice period, we've had dozens of meetings with the DC, dozens of meetings with the city engineer, with Dowell, and then of course with public health. We set up this meeting to get all the information out to the public. We've done, I believe, two, if not three, I believe it's two, radio interviews with KYUK. So we've really tried to get this information out as much as we possibly could. And to your question, or the reporter's question about, kind of unpacking, what happened here. We shoot for a real high mark. Public water is really important. We have a turnover in that department, and this was primarily handled by our water operators to do these notices, and they're certified water operators that work with the DC. They're certified by the DC. But we had a key retirement in that department, and this particular task was delegated to that operator level. And so, as I'm in my acting role, I felt like that's probably not the best place for that particular activity to occur. I've moved that activity of notification to the public and handling of these public notices up to my office, the city manager's office, and it will be delegated no lower than the public works director. So it'll stay within the administration. And so that way we can make sure this happens, happens timely. And so that's where we're at right now. You know, what we've done to make this, you know, to kind of regain the public trust and to, you know, make sure everybody's confident in the water that they use for their homes and families and children is that we also, soon after learning of this issue, we ordered a new test of the water system. Those tests were taken, I believe, between July 24th and 29th. So it was, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong on that date. I don't want to quote the wrong date, but I believe it's that date that those tests were taken. So we took those very quickly and swiftly after this information came out. We've changed how we handle these types of issues with moving this up into a higher echelon of the administration. And it's not handled by plant operators who have plenty of stuff to do, you know, dealing with water quality, making sure the injections are correct, making sure the right amount of fluoride and chlorine and everything else is added to the water. We've made ourselves available to the news. And as I said, we've sent out over 1,600 public notices. We've had this public meeting to, you know, make ourselves available to the public. We also provided the phone numbers for our Public Works Department. We have information on the city's website. There's a couple links on there for lead and copper information. And we're also putting out a kind of a final letter in the next water bill that's going out that'll basically say, you know, what the results of the last test that we performed was, so that the public gets an information that, yeah, we're back within the safe limits established by DC and the federal government, EPA. And that's where we're at. And I hope I answered your question, Anna. And I'm available to answer any questions as well, if anybody has a question of me.
This is Anna Rose with KYUK again. So is that fast just in the context of the state and how testing is done? If you get results in September to then start looking at the issue in January, is that considered a fast and appropriate response?
I think that the city's response on, it's my opinion that our turning the information over to our engineer with regards to the aggressiveness of the water, I believe that was done timely. I believe what was not done timely is the public, the consumer notices. Some of them were done, not all. That was late. The public education component and the quarterly notices were clearly not in, did not meet DEC standards for our notification. But I think that our work with our engineer has been in a timely fashion. Does anybody have any other questions of me? Feel free. Yeah.
So you guys have talked about going to a biannual or testing twice a year the water. What else is going to be done to ensure that the water doesn't get too aggressive again? And these issues come up again in the future? Is it just going to be the increased sampling every 6 months, or what are the city's plans to hopefully make sure this isn't going to happen again?
I think that I'll talk about kind of the city's plans, and maybe I'll kick over the question about the engineering solution. Number one is, to keep this from happening again, is we have the public works director and the city manager dealing directly with these notices and the requirements thereof. So our plan going forward is to comply with the absolute letter of the law with regards to the DC requirements. And so those would be to get those notices out within the, I believe it's a 10, 30, and a 60-day requirement, plus quarterly notices, which is every 3 months. And so that's our plan. I will let Chase speak to, you know, how are we going to keep the water from being aggressive again, if he wants to talk about that.
I don't know what else I can add other than, you know, just our initial recommendation for a calcium carbonate addition. And we just need to work with the DEC environmental program specialists to buy off on that recommendation before we can move forward with it. I was just looking through kind of dates to just further address your question, Anna Rosa, about the timeliness. September 25th was the sample. October 25th, the notice would have went out to the city of the exceedances. We were contracted in December, and we did our first test on January 23rd, and then the additional tests in February and March. So, I mean, I guess it's open to interpretation on what swift action was, but it was only from October 25th, and we were contracted in December, and with water quality testing being done for our aggressiveness indices in January, February, and March. So just to talk to the schedule there a little bit more. Okay.
Does anybody have any other questions for anybody on the panel or something that's you wanted to ask before we end our meeting this evening? Go ahead, sir.
Is there any discussion about the expansion of the corridor?
Microphone.
Is there going to be any discussion about the expansion of the corridor and the reasons for the geographic, why it's going in the particular directions across Ridgecrest? Or I'm not sure if that's going to be something tonight or is that another meeting?
I think that's a great question, and I can talk a little bit to that. So, you know, it's been my experience living and working in Bethel for three decades that it appears that our water systems are fairly consistently expanded on or added to. So when I first came to Bethel in 1988, the water system in Asha Heights just served the public housing area up there. And it's moved all the way down to the into the AVCP housing area and then out further into the Lulu Heron building. And so that's been expanded on. The institutional corridor, I don't believe we have any future plans to expand it. We definitely don't have any money at this point to do that. There's a couple other buildings that are nearby the institutional corridor that will be coming online over the next few years. But we do have the Avenues Water Project, and the Avenues Water Project is carrying that city subsystem across Ridgecrest, as you mentioned, over into 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th Avenue, at least as far as Main Street, and then extending across 3rd Avenue, possibly over into the area of the Longhouse. So there is going to be some expansion onto the system. I think that, you know, this was a good time for us to learn what can happen when we add more demand on a system. So we're going to be very watchful of that as we make that move across Ridgecrest and across 3rd Avenue and expand off of this system. What's good to know is that that pump house and city sub is operating at about 40% of its total capacity. So it has plenty of extra capacity to expand off of. And that's a pretty exciting project. I mean, it's going to save those folks in that area a lot of money and put a lot less demand on our hauled system. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, and I'm wondering why Osage Avenue wasn't included, that area that's over by the 4-H building.
I can't answer that question. I don't know why Osage is not part of the city sub water system. That does not seem to, that seems like it would be a logical path to follow there, but I can't answer that question. That was done a number of years ago. Any other questions for any of our presenters this evening?
Anna Rose from KYUK. So just leading off of, since there is a planned expansion into the avenues, is there anything preemptively being thought of, okay, last time we did an expansion, we saw this increase, next time we can do this so we won't see an increase?
We're aware of it and we're discussing it. We don't have a firm plan for that yet. It's 4 years out, so it's a little ways out. But I'll be working with the engineer that we have here tonight. His firm, Dowell, is doing the engineering and the whole process with us. So I'm sure that he'll take that note right now tonight and make sure that is definitely part of that process. Thank you. Anybody else have a question, thought? All right. Well, I really thank you guys for coming tonight, and thank all the public for participating. It was quite a well-attended meeting. I wish more of the citizens of Bethel could be here. I thank the people listening on the radio this evening, and to our panel here tonight, Chase, Cindy, and Jonathan. It's been wonderful having you here. Thank you for coming all the way out to Bethel tonight to share your vast knowledge of the Bethel water system with the public. It's been really a pleasure. If you do have any other questions about the city's water system, you can make a phone call to us. Reach me, Bill Howell, the city manager, or our public works director. 543-2047 is a general city number. You can get any of our departments that way. You could also send me an email, manager@cityofbethel.net, if you have a question. And just feel free if there's something that you were thinking of tonight that you want to ask me, but you're on the radio and you can't do so. So thank you all for coming. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you and see you all here tonight. Thank you.